Welcome to the final mayoral debate for the 2019 Pittsfield City election, being held Tuesday, November 5th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. This debate is part of a series coordinated by the Pittsfield Gazette, hosted by Berkshire Community College, and televised by Pittsfield Community Television. My name is Tammy Daniels, and I am the editor of iBerkshires and will be the moderator for this debate. With us tonight is Mayor Linda Tyre, who is running for re-election, and Councilor Melissa Mazzio, who hopes to take over that four-year term. The candidates will be given a two-minute introduction and a 90-second closing statement. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes to answer questions and a one-minute rebuttal, and, if desired, a 30-second response after that. To start off, we will turn to Mayor Linda Tyre, who will give her opening statement.
Thank you, Tammy, and thank you to PCTV, the Gazette, and Berkshire Community College for hosting this final debate in the mayor's race. It's great to be in this institution of learning where we can talk about campaigns and the competition of ideas and an accounting of our records. So my time in public service has spanned a variety of positions. I was first elected to represent Ward 3 on the City Council, and during my time as a City Councilor, I really worked hard to master constituent services, and one of the most serious incidences that occurred in Ward 3 was a 100-year flood, and it really required me to advocate for the people of Ward 3 who were most affected by the seriousness of this flood. I was able to bring a lot of resources and help people recover from this very difficult circumstance. And also, as a member of the City Council, I worked with some colleagues on a project that resulted in saving the city millions of dollars in our health insurance costs. I then became the City Clerk, and during my time as City Clerk, I was able to administer the elections, which was a very rewarding experience. During that time, I created a brand new training process and a manual for election workers that has been shared all across the Commonwealth with other City Clerks. And as your mayor, I have tackled the issues that affect our daily lives. Things like creating jobs and energizing the economy, strengthening our schools. We've invested in police and we're building new housing, paving roads and preparing for climate change, all the things that matter to the people of our city. My record reflects a solution-oriented mindset, and Pittsfield is in a better position today than it was 4 years ago. I'd like to take a minute and talk about a topic that hasn't come up yet in any of our conversations. When I took office in January of 2016, I inherited, 10 seconds?
Yeah.
I inherited a fiscal crisis, and it took us a long time to recover from that crisis. And hopefully, later in the debate, I can share more of those details with the audience.
All right. Thank you. And we will turn to Councilor Mazzio, your opening statement.
Thank you very much. I want to thank PCTV, BCC, and the Gazette, and to you, Tammy, for hosting tonight's debate. As I see it, this may be the last time for you to hear my opponent and I deliberating and debating on the real issues facing Pittsfield. You're going to hear about my record of 10 years as a city councilor and the votes that I've taken after much due diligence. No, I did not vote to cut teachers' budgets. No, I did not vote to cut the police budget. No, I did not vote to cut the firefighters' budget. Those false statements taken from mischaracterized votes are an easy way for my opponent to paint a false picture of who I am and what I stand for. As your city councilor, I have valued every step of the way, and I've taken each of the petitions and initiatives, and I voted them on their merits, not who brought them forward. You will hear me talking about crime, education, infrastructure, and economic development, and how I plan to provide solutions to these important issues. Sometimes these discussions may not be pleasant to hear, as we must face the facts. To paint everything in a positive light simply will not help our city, which is at a critical turning point. A true leader will not sugarcoat things to make a city look better, and in fact, that makes us look naive and unable to handle tough situations. We also need to revisit statements made by my opponent, especially statements made when she was running for mayor in 2015. At the time, Linda Tyre was outraged that our crime statistics were through the roof, calling them unacceptable, and that she would make decreasing crime her top priority. We were labeled ninth most violent city at that time, and we are now fifth. Where's the outrage now? Mayor Tyer blamed the mayor for rising crime rates 4 years ago, yet has taken no ownership over the crime rate now. Linda had grave concerns about the newly formed Berkshire Innovation Center, and I quote, "It won't create new jobs or tax revenue." And now we hear that she's taken credit for amassing the funding to get it opened, and what a great asset it is for our city. And in 2015, Linda Tyer, how much?
You're done.
Oh, you didn't give me a warning.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
I didn't.
So you can give me a 10-second countdown?
Hurry up.
Okay.
5 seconds.
5 seconds. So I will lead with accountability and imagine what we could do with money that we saved on the $2.5 million that were overrun. So I look forward to the continuing debate.
Okay. I apologize.
That's okay.
I was listening and I was not watching.
That's okay.
So since this has been brought up, I mean, crime is certainly has been a major issue within the city, and what we want to hear from your specific proposals and what you believe they will do or have done. And I'm going to start with Mayor Tyer.
Thank you very much. I did say in 2015 that we had to be serious about crime, and we have been serious about crime. We've created a lot of new initiatives and invested in the police department and in our neighborhoods to strengthen our effort around combating crime. There's more work to do, no doubt about it. So what have we done? We've hired more police officers. We brought ShotSpotter technology to our city. With ShotSpotter, we've been able to make arrests, seize guns, and collect over 300 pieces of evidence for prosecution. We've also worked with a neighborhood community activist group to bring a community outreach post right into the neighborhood. Those emerging leaders are working together closely with the police to strengthen their presence in that neighborhood that needs us the most. We have also been working on making sure that our police officers have a Breen Center clinician that travels with them in the moments of a domestic violence crisis or a mental health issue. There have also been all kinds of other investments. Councilor Mazzeo points to hotspot policing. We do hotspot policing now. We look at our data analysis daily, and our chief and the command staff make decisions about how to deploy resources and personnel based on that data. Now, what's next? What else do we need? What more can we bring to the table? We have been working, Pittsfield has taken the lead, along with the rest of the Berkshire County law enforcement agencies, to apply for a federal designation that would allow us to have access to federal law enforcement personnel and resources. We're just going through the first round of review right now, and I'm feeling positive that we'll be able to strengthen our efforts with Pittsfield Police, the Massachusetts State Police, the Sheriff's Office, and now federal resources.
Thank you. Okay, and now we will go over to Councilor Mazzeo.
So the question was?
The question was, what do you, let me stop that. The question is explaining your proposals or ongoing initiative and how specifically you believe that they will help reduce crime.
Okay. As a mayor, I would be immediately looking at where we are in the crime, which we know right now we're fifth, and I would be working every single day to make sure that we continue to go in the opposite direction. The fact that, you know, we had a four-term mayor who said from the start that crime was an issue, but yet we're finding initiatives being done in this fourth year. A community outreach post was done this year. The fact that we're talking about receiving a grant for, you know, high drug trafficking intensity areas, that's not something to be proud of. The fact that we've been designated as an area is, again, just going back to the fact that we've had a crime area for an issue for 4 years, but yet we've not addressed it. And we have the data that comes out. We denied it at the beginning of the debate, and now we're talking about the fact that crime is stable. Well, that's not satisfactory, and we shouldn't be stable. We should be moving in the other direction. If we're using hot spot policing and true allocation plans for our officers, we should see officers in these areas at all times when there's been a crime, and we're not seeing them. And when I did talk with the chief, he said we didn't have the available resources. Well, you've had 4 years. If you've had issues in getting more officers and the way that you're getting the officers have been the problem, why wasn't it addressed before? Why is the conversation about trying to get officers in the hindrance to it being discussed now? These are things that you have to take from the day you walk in, and that's why getting 4 years is such an important amount of time to work on these from the day you start until the day you leave.
Okay, thank you. And Mayor Tyre, you have a minute rebuttal.
Thank you very much. I think it's important to point out that the very first budget that I proposed to the Pittsfield City Council was a budget that included a significant increase in funding for the police department so that we could accomplish more, especially in particular hiring more police officers so that we could put more officers on the street. And that budget, Councillor Mazzeo voted against. So now we are here we are, still trying to increase our police officers. And yes, it takes time because we are constrained by a civil service system. So we do the best we can and hire as quickly as we can. But we have police officers who retire. We have some that leave to take higher paying jobs. So we've got a lot of things that are that make this process a little bit complex, but we're working hard every single day. It's more than just a politically convenient argument. It takes tenacity day in and day out to keep our city safe.
Okay, thank you. And I'll turn to Councilor Mazzeo for a 1 minute rebuttal.
Absolutely. So the fact that you're saying that I voted no to increase the police officers' budget to get more police officers is actually not true. We can't, I can't say I don't want to vote for that budget because I want to take off that line item, and we all know that. We're able to decrease the budget, not increase it, and if there was a discussion about it, we could have it. But to fall back on that vote, I think you need to give me a little bit more specifics on it. But at the same time, the fact that if we've known that we've wanted to get more police officers, which you've said that you brought on 42, but yet 36 have left for a net gain of 6 over 4 years, this is where the problem is. Every single day you should be working to get more police officers, and you had a city council. I'm only one person on that city council. There's 11 people. So if your initiatives were moving forward and getting that job done, you would be getting exactly what you asked for. The fact that you didn't, you can't follow it and blame it back on me, and you can't blame it on the city council.
Okay, thank you. We have some supporters in the audience tonight. It's good to know people are involved. So, and I will turn to Mayor Tyre if you want to take another 30 seconds.
I think we've covered this topic, and there's lots of other important topics that matter to the people of our city.
Okay. Do you want to take 15 seconds to come back?
Yeah, the fact that we have nothing more to say on the issue means it's not a, it's an issue that there's no words to say, so they want to stop the conversation. So let's move on.
Okay. And as much as we appreciate people wanting to be involved, we also want to be able to get as many questions as possible. So hold off maybe until right until the end of all the questions. Okay, and this time we're going to turn to Councilor Mazzeo. The opioid addiction crisis has certainly played a role in rising crime throughout the region. How would your administration address the root causes of addiction and drug abuse? 2 minutes.
Thank you. Well, we absolutely know that this is a crisis and the whole country is facing it. So basically making sure that you're using every resource and all the funding that you have available to offer programs to help people, to bring people in. But at the same time, we have to realize that people that have these addictions that are out there in suffering, but at the same time causing crime, there are ways that we can get them off the streets, get them into the help that they need and certain paths that they could take to wean them from their addiction and then get them back into, be good citizens in society. So, working with the state, working with the federal government to get funds that they're now going after these opioid makers and bringing those funds back here so that we're able to use them. It's very important, and I would work with any entity that's out there. The Breen Center is working very hard. There's a number of them that are there. But at the same time, what we have to realize is that we have to treat them that they have this disease that they have. But if they're also breaking the laws and things like that, we have to make sure that we're helping them, but we're also helping the community at the same time in getting them into the programs that are going to be beneficial for everyone. So as far as this, I wish I could solve the opioid crisis, and I think a lot of people do, and I think we all are probably on the same agreement that we need to focus as many funds as we possibly can. So that's all I could do is for my city is to advocate for as much as we could possibly get.
Okay, thank you. And we will turn to Mayor Tyre.
Thank you very much. So people who struggle with substance use disorders are not criminals. They have a medical challenge that prevents them from realizing their full potential. So what have we been doing? All of our firefighters and police officers have been trained to administer Narcan, so they're able to respond immediately to an overdose situation and save lives. We've been partnering with private providers to make sure that there are resources available for people who need intervention. The Breen Center counselor that travels with our police officers is an important resource. We have supported a grant application that County Ambulance applied for, which would allow for the trained personnel at County Ambulance to follow up with an individual 24 hours after they've received a dose of Narcan to see if they can intervene in a way that might encourage entering into a recovery program. The city's Director of Public Health is an active member of the Berkshire County Opioid Prevention Program, which is an organization that's an advocacy group for making sure that cities and towns across Berkshire County are accessing resources to bring to bear for people who struggle with addiction. And we did join a lawsuit in my second year as mayor. We joined a lawsuit with other communities that would hopefully result in a significant amount of funding coming to communities that have been the most severely impacted by the opioid crisis. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, stop. And Councilor Mazzio, you have a 1 minute rebuttal?
The only thing I would say is, well, good. I'm glad that you joined. I mean, this is something that you should do. As a mayor, this is the job that you do. When you have an issue that comes before you, we have an opioid crisis. Any type that there's a grant, an initiative, something coming forward, we should be on board. I didn't say they were criminals. I said people who have opioid addictions may cause criminal acts. So thus, we need to be able to do the separation of how do we protect our community, how do we protect them and give them the services that they need. And there are multiples out there. It's not a one-size-fits-all. And I think that one thing that we need to make sure we're doing is looking at, you know, each one of these on a separate basis. But without a doubt, any kind of funding and any partnership that we can get in, I mean, communities and in the Commonwealth, we've all joined other states in suing pharmaceutical companies. That's what you should be doing.
Okay. Thank you. Stop. And do you have any?
Well, only just to thank Councilor Mazzio for supporting my initiative back in year two when we brought forward this effort to join the lawsuits so that we can get a recovery, so that we can provide even more resources for people who struggle with substance use disorders.
Why wouldn't I?
Do you wish to respond?
Well, no, I think I just did. I mean, like, why wouldn't I support that? That's insane. Like I said in my opening statement, it's not about the person giving the initiative, it's about the initiative.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one is going to be, we're gonna move more towards economic development. The city has seen some significant investment in recent years, but filling jobs has been difficult for many employers, as we know, including General Dynamics. With the city's unemployment rate hovering just over 3%, do you think Pittsfield needs to focus on recruiting residents more than workforce training? And if so, how would you do that? And this will go to Mayor Tyer.
This is a great question and a really tough challenge. You know, we're having vacancies exist in our businesses anywhere from 1,400 to 1,200 vacancies at any one quarter. And it's challenged by the fact that we're almost nearly at full employment, meaning everybody is working, and so the vacancies are going on unfilled longer than we would like. One of the most important things that we could be doing and should be doing in this next term is doing more to create a place where people want to live. We've got an incredible art and culture economy here. We have a beautiful outdoor recreational amenities that I think would be an important asset to market outside of our region to encourage young professionals and families to choose Pittsfield as a place to live where they can have gainful employment and they can have a reasonable cost of living and a wonderful wonderful amenities that they can enjoy when they're not at work. So these are certainly, once we have now energized the economy and brought some attention to the importance of creating jobs and supporting businesses, the next step in the process, and believe it or not, Councilor, you can't finish everything all in 1 year or even all in one term, but now what we can do now is pivot and work with our business leaders to create potential recruitment programs that we can share with one another to fill those vacancies that exist across the diverse landscape of our business community.
All right, thank you. And now we go to Council Razzio.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that you're on the recruitment program, because that is something that you talked about in your 2015 debate that you would start in your first year. So I'm glad you're getting around to it. Workforce training is huge. And if that's something that, you know, when you talk to businesses and companies that are out there, they have the jobs. The workforce needs to be in there. That's where we start really focusing on workforce training. We go to our vocational schools, our New Taconic High School, and we bring community partners in with them and talk to them about training with those students right there to develop a workforce that can come out and then go right into their business. We work with BCC and MCLA, and we make sure that they're developing programs that are allowing people to go in and to get the skill set that will allow them to come out and to get into a job. When people are coming in, you know, especially if you look at a company like General Dynamics and they're bringing in these kids from outside, yes, it's important that we have something for them to do. They need to have a fun and a safe environment and all of that. But at the same time, there's simple things that we can ask. And, you know, when they're leaving and we do these exit interviews with them, which these companies do, we gather a lot of data. And that's how we can build for the next level. Once we start gathering that, it's like, okay, so what are we doing wrong there, and go back and fix it. So a lot of these are important, but I think we have the ability now, after all that investment into the Taconic High School, is to utilize these vocations and partner them up with people like a George Haddad, and coming in and doing something for automotives. That is the perfect partnership, and we need to do that, and we can do that with other companies too. And the Berkshire Innovation Center is also going to allow us to do that. So I'm so happy that we finally got that off the ground. Thank you.
Okay, and Mayor Tarrio, would you like to respond? You have 1 minute.
Thank you, I appreciate that. The question wasn't really about workforce training, and yes, we have a lot of providers who are preparing the workforce for future jobs. The question was about recruitment. And one of the things that strikes me about the counselor's answer is that when we had an opportunity to retain jobs, opportunities to keep people employed, she voted against those initiatives that I presented to her and the members of the City Council. So for example, when we were confronted in year one with a Covanta crisis where they were threatening to close or sell the facility and 25 people and their families would become unemployed, I got busy with partners, business leaders, Covanta, and our economic development professionals, and put together a package that would save those 25 jobs and keep those people employed.
Okay, thank you. And back to Councilor Mazzio.
Thank you.
1 minute.
So great, so let's go back to that Covanta. So you're saying that I voted no on the jobs, but what I voted no on was the $562,000 that you wanted to give them out of the Economic Development Fund so that they could redo a boiler that not only the City of Pittsfield benefited from, but two other private companies that we weren't allowed to know what they had for a skin in the game. But yet we were told, we have to do this to save those jobs. That company that was threatening to leave, we knew it wasn't gonna go anywhere. They've just been bought out, okay? So, you know, again, it's these things are all been on the table, but you're getting these sound bites. Mazur says no on this, but there's no follow-up. In 30 seconds, trust me, is not enough time. Thank you.
Okay, actually, you had a minute. You still have 20
seconds.
Oh,
I have a minute then. Okay, so let me keep going.
For a minute. You got 20 seconds, quick.
Okay, so, you know, yeah, so recruitment is about job training, because you want to get somebody in here, you want to recruit somebody in, then you also have to have a job for their partner if they're coming in here. So it's all about job training, and all of that goes hand in hand. And so it boils down to talking to the businesses and being able to get them to tell us what they need for employment, and then we help to fill that gap. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, all right. Now we're at 30 seconds, if Mayor Tarrio would like
Thank
to respond.
You very much, Tammy. I do want to follow up on this Covanta story, because this is exactly what economic development is supposed to be about. We have this special fund, and we were able to give Covanta the money that they needed to make environmental upgrades to the facility so that it could remain open and keep those people employed. That mattered to me. It mattered to me then, and I stand by it now, and it probably didn't matter to Councillor Mazzeo because you voted against it. Thank you,
all right.
Tammy.
All right. And you get the lesson.
The jobs mattered to me. It was the way that you went around it, and it's the lack of transparency in what you do in a lot of these things is why people vote no. Because there's more to that story than the jobs equivalent. And that company was just bought out by another company, and they're doing fine. But the other two companies that were involved, we still have no idea what they gave for skin in the game. But we gave up $562,000 of our dwindling fund that we seem to give away, you know, to anybody, $2 million to the Beacon and whatnot. And we don't have that money forever. We have to be good stewards of that money.
So let's keep going on the GE Development Fund.
Let's do it.
This is one of the questions here. Both of you have proposed different things and recently for the GE Fund. The mayor proposed to use $250,000 for the at-home program for housing rehabilitation. You have on your one of your issues is using it for workforce training in part for that. So what I'm looking for is, what is your philosophy in economic development and the use of this fund? And that goes to Mayor Tyer first.
Great, thank you. So I think that my philosophy on using the economic development fund is broad-based. Yes, it is meant to support businesses that are making a significant capital investment in their facility or creating a new facility. It's also meant to be used for businesses that are creating new jobs and contributing to the economy. But let's not forget that the quality of housing and the stability of our neighborhoods plays an important role in the future of our economy. And so when we think about the housing in our community, one of the things we hear from business leaders, part of the recruitment problem, is that we have a lack of good housing that young professionals and families would be willing to live in if they came to work here. So we've put forward an important investment, I think it was in year three, where we began to prepare St. Mary's for a market rate rental housing. St. Mary's is an iconic historic church that many people sought to save. And as you know, Dunkin' Donuts was attempting to take that property, but we got busy when I took office and started making plans for how to recover that historic property and put it back to good use. And pretty soon we're going to have brand new housing at the historic St. Mary's, right in between General Dynamics and Berkshire Health Systems. But that's not enough. We also have in our city about 43% of our houses were built before 1939. So this is New England, and our houses in some of our neighborhoods need some investment and some repair. And I believe really strongly that this economic development fund ought to be used to provide a resource for people who might not be eligible for traditional financing so that they could make exterior repairs to their homes. We have $4 million in the economic development fund today. $250,000 was an opportunity for
I'm
us
sorry,
to
you're
show
out. That. Look at the next one.
Say it again.
You're done.
Thank you. I'm done. I'll follow up.
You'll follow up, right? Okay, and now we go to Councillor Mazzeo. Your philosophy on using the Economic Development Fund.
Okay, well, first of all, my philosophy on using the Economic Development Fund is, yes, to create business and economic development. So a couple things. One, I wouldn't give it away to write off a unforgivable loan or forgivable loan for $2.5 million to the Beacon Cinema, who received tax credits and historic credits and all sorts of funding in state and federal to the tune of $25 million. And we gave them $2.5 million in our economic development fund money, and then we wrote it off when it was sold to another company without going out to public bid, without any conversations, all because of the fact that the mayor said they didn't want it to go into foreclosure. But I also remember her saying one day that economic development is a contact sport, but there was no contact in that. So also going on to the housing, first of all, housing is such a simple thing. We've always had this housing shortage, housing crisis, and housing from the 1940s. We've had this forever. Not sure why it took 4 years in an administration to come up with a plan, like, let's get out there and help them. So that was something that was really, it was a disservice to the citizens for 3 years. Having said that, The $250,000 to be used for the residents, it was to be used here and to be used over here and to be used over here. And when I attended the Strong Town seminar with Charles Marone that the mayor was at, and he talked about a very similar things like this that are done all over the country, he talked about not doing it spot like that. He talked about doing it in groups. You got to buy into a community. You have at least have to have five members of a street that buys in, bring in people to come in and help the donation and all that. And then he also talked to me when we sat for an hour afterwards, and we talked about the GE Economic Development and how that was my fundamental difference with the mayor, not the proposal of the whole plan. And he said, never give that money away without getting it back. And you could do it with $20,000. So that's what I would be doing going forward. But at the same time, when we give these tax breaks and we have people come in and use this community economic development funds and all of this stuff to do these repairs on their home, I talked with a woman, she was in her 80s, who pays $167 a month back to the city, and she's been paying it for 5 years. But yet we let the owners of the Beacon Cinema walk away with a $2.5 million forgiveness. That is unacceptable.
Hands up at people's.
You don't have a watch, so you go.
Okay.
It's not the first time.
And we're back to Mayor Tyer for a minute rebuttal.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about the Beacon. I absolutely believed that a negotiated settlement to keep the Beacon open and thriving in our downtown was a vital and important decision for the economy of our downtown, for people who enjoy dining downtown, for people who live downtown. And you know, the remarkable thing about the Beacon is that they are seeing already a 14% increase in their ticket sales and a 40% increase in their concessions. This is a business that employs people, that provides an entertainment opportunity for the people of our city at a fairly reasonable price. It's really important when we are confronted by these challenges that we sit down together with all the parties involved and come up with a solution that keeps a place like the Beacon open for our community to enjoy for years to come.
All right, thank you. And back to Councilor Mazzio for 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I'm really glad that they're making money, so they could have paid back that loan if we didn't forgive it. So, also, the problem with the Beacon is that was brought in by the banks that were owed money to have an assessment done. They brought a company in. That a company came in and assessed that business and then turned around and purchased it for $500,000 when nobody else in the city of Pittsville got even a shot at it. My thing was, run the Beacon, that's what you're good at. Give the real estate op to another business, and let's run it there.
Okay, thank you. And back to Mayor Tyer. If you have 30 seconds that you want to respond.
Well, I would just like to reiterate, because I didn't quite get a chance to finish my thought, about how important it is that we provide opportunities for housing investment in our community. There are a lot of people in our community. When we introduced the At Home in Pittsfield program, we had over 100 people contact us to say, might I be eligible to repair my front porch or replace my windows or fix my roof? It's really important that we are making these investments in this housing stock before it gets to the point where it's beyond repair and it's in a blighted condition and it is a drag on the surrounding neighborhood when houses are in a blighted condition.
Sorry. Okay, we have to move on, sorry. I was going to ask about the Beacon, but I think we've covered that pretty well.
Oh, no, we can talk on that. What can I just say about the fund? Are we still on the funds? Are we done?
No, we're done. Let's move on. Somebody said that 2 minutes would be more than enough for
it's
me,
not.
And I'm thinking,
nope.
Yeah, he was wrong.
Nope.
So let's go back to, we're going to be on economic development, and this one is going to be for Councilor Mazzio. And I believe that I kind of messed up because I jumped over some questions. So if you don't mind, you got two in a row. I'm going to get Councilor Mazzio two in a row
of
to
course.
Catch up. Okay. All right. So the Department of Community Development is looking at changing downtown zoning from uses to forms in terms of permitting, a switch that would focus on what buildings look like rather than what is inside of them to encourage mixed-use development. Are you a supporter of such a change, or do you see possible pitfalls?
So this is something that the Community Economic Development Fund is doing, or committee is doing now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, absolutely. One of the things I've been saying for years is that we don't change things because this is the way we've always done them. And one of those things is You know, we use, if a building was a store 50 years ago, we still treat the, you know, the parking outside or the loading zone outside as the same, and we don't move with it when it should be moving. So absolutely, I think we should change, you know, the zoning to be used. One of the things that we're also hearing when we talk with the guy from Strong Towns is the fact that we don't allow these businesses that want to come in and change their uses and stuff like that. We have such a laundry list of things that they have to get done, they never can get off the ground. So if there's any way that we can help them to get started, and if it's changing zoning or it's changing the use of the building and being able to get through special permitting and all that, then I would support it. But again, a lot of it has to also be done on a case-by-case basis. You can't do a uniform across the board. It really has to be done in sections. So I would be very interested in moving forward with that, because I think this is what we're hearing from our small businesses now that have come in, and many of them have left because they haven't been able to conform to what was in place so many years ago, and that's what they ended up packing up and leaving, and that's unfortunate.
Okay, all right. And we go to Mayor Tyer.
Thank you. So downtown zoning is such an important and critical component to nurturing and facilitating the rebirth of our downtown. And there was a period in downtown history when you weren't allowed to have any residential units on those upper floors. And so while I was a city councilor, we put forward a creative solution of creating a downtown overlay arts district that allowed for housing to exist on those upper floors in our downtown buildings. And you can see how that has changed the landscape of our downtown. Again, housing is an important component. There are a lot of people who want to live in downtown housing. Our young professionals and active seniors really enjoy that downtown living experience. Now, the next evolution of zoning is form-based zoning, where you take less of the types of use and you focus more on how does this building interact with the surrounding buildings, and how do we make sure that those buildings are working well together in a form-based environment. So this is a topic that we ought to be focusing on, and we're looking forward to. We're just starting to pull together an ordinance that we would present to the City Council on a form-based zoning for the downtown. It's complicated. Zoning is complicated, so it's going to take some time, but I'm looking forward to this conversation in the next term.
Okay. Do you want to respond?
Or? Yeah, actually, okay. I'd like to add to a little bit. Sure. I was at a housing summit the other day at Berkshire Hills Country Club, and it was really interesting. And one of the things that they were talking about is the governor trying to push through the fact that he wants to change the zoning from being a supermajority at local councils, city councils, town councils, to a simple majority, because it's so difficult to get zoning changes through. I wholeheartedly believe that, and I support that. And one of the things that they talked about too is people would be more apt to come in and do business in a zoning-friendly community than look for tax and increment financing. They actually would come in more for zoning than that. So look forward to that.
I think I'm all set with this question.
Okay. I think we found agreement. Okay, so let's go on to what doesn't get talked about a lot until it sort of comes up in budgets or there's a plan for it, and that is Pittsfield Municipal Airport. There's been quite a bit of millions of dollars been put into the airport. It finally appears to be actually making revenue. And so the question is, should the city continue to run the airport, or should it be spun off to a private developer? And again, I will go to Councilor Mazzio on that, so you get your two in a row.
Tammy, thank you so much for that, because actually, as one of the years on the council a few years ago, with Councilor Connell, we put in a petition to do a study on the airport. Because we had those same questions. Is it self-sustainable? Do we give it to the fixed-base operator? Do we give it to the state? We had all these conversations. We spent about a year and a half going over all of the ins and outs of the airport. And we ended up coming up with really good concrete suggestions and compromises where we were able to increase landing fees and bring some of our revenue up. And I just had a meeting with the airport director, Chris, about 2 weeks ago, and he's so exciting to listen to. And the fact that I said to him, you are now on your way to self-sustainability, and this is so much what we wanted for our airport. It's a great asset for us, But you also have people who are paying into our budget and looking at the airport that may never use it that wonder. So if we can get them to be self-sustainable and then even bring in more revenue by what they're doing around them, that's a win-win for everybody. So I'm really excited that we're continuing our partnership with the airport, and we thank them for coming to the table and working so hard to make this a really good partnership as we go forward, and they've gotten a lot of things that they're coming up in the future with.
So what I'm hearing is that you think the city should continue to invest and operate the airport as a revenue.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, yep.
Mayor Tire.
That's great. I'm glad that Councilor Mazzeo is finally convinced that we should keep our airport. It is an important economic tool for not only Pittsfield, for Berkshire County. Part of the conversation around whether or not we should just privatize our airport isn't even an option because we've received so much federal grants and federal funds to extend our airport and to make improvements to the runways. And hopefully we're going to see in the very near future a completed master plan that will guide us and provide direction for the future of the airport for years to come. There are so many opportunities at the municipal airport for future expansion. There is a lot of demand for hangar space. Also now the airport is becoming a center for emergency planning and an opportunity to be a place where we might provide emergency planning amenities. If there is a crisis in our community, it's a place where we can stage for emergency responses. We are hoping in the very near future to expand solar at the airport to meet some environmental needs and to provide a new source of revenue for the Pittsfield Municipal Airport. So I agree 100% that the Pittsfield Municipal Airport should remain a municipal airport. You know, it's also a location for a very successful small business. They employ a lot of people, they contribute to the economy, and by partnering with Lion Aviation so that they can operate their small business on municipally owned property is another great way for us to support the Pittsfield economy.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone, do you want to do a rebuttal? Or?
No, going back to talking with the airport director and okay. All of the ideas and you know, the emergency planning and the hangars and the different things like that, and the fact that we talked about the solar and it's got some issues, but we're hoping it gets there, and I hope that the city, we also take advantage of the fact that we need municipal solar on our businesses and things like that to continue so we can create revenue also, so just... We should take their lead on that.
Okay. You're tired. You want to?
One of the things that I think is really interesting about the airport, it's kind of an emerging opportunity, is for the airport to become a gathering place for social events. So this past summer, they had a car show cruising on Wednesday nights, and we also had a couple of years ago a big air show where people could come to the airport and experience. Cars and airplanes, and I think there's a great opportunity for the airport to expand its place in our community by providing opportunities for gathering and for socializing and for entertainment. If you've never been to the airport, it is a spectacular place. The views are incredible, and I think we must keep investing in our airport and make it a part of our community.
All right, thank you. You want to respond or move on?
We're all set.
Okay, good. We're covering a lot of ground, but there's a couple of odds and ends that didn't quite fit in that we wanted to make sure got asked tonight, so I'm gonna move to those just to make sure they get in. As mayor, and this goes to Mayor Tire for the first question, as mayor, would you support the recommendations of the Berkshire County Education Task Force and move toward school district consolidation?
Wow, I know that there is this task force, and they've been working for a couple of years on studying whether or not Berkshire County schools should form a single district. I am not convinced that that's right for the county or for Pittsfield in particular. I think they have a lot of work to do to persuade the communities that this is viable and that it's something that communities can embrace. I think in particular the Pittsfield Public Schools is a large organization that ought to have its, we ought to have our own district, our own school committee, our own superintendent of schools. I think it's important that we stay in touch with the task force, understand what their proposals are, but honestly, I'm not yet convinced that a single school district is viable. I think might be more realistic is maybe a North District, Central, and Southern District, but even then, you've got a lot of school communities that have their own identity and have their own leadership, and I think it's going to be really difficult, even with union contracts with teachers and paraprofessionals, it's going to be really difficult to merge all of those differences into one single school district. So I'm not yet convinced that that's right for Pittsfield.
Okay, thank you. And I go to Councilor Mazzio.
I don't think we should take anything off the table. If you look at the dwindling enrollment, there's just not as many kids in the schools anymore. And it's not just that people are leaving or are choicing out. People just aren't having, as many kids anymore. So to continue to try to run a huge school district with dwindling numbers, some schools are really full, some schools aren't really full, we cannot fiscally sustain that. So any kind of conversation, it should be really given its due diligence and really brought to the table. And I think the surrounding communities are also feeling the same pinch. There's a lot of things that are coming down the pipe that there's funding that has to be done for in other communities. I mean, we've got a $64 million wastewater treatment plant that we're going to have to fund, that our water and sewer is going to go up crazy. And so, if we can find ways to save money in consolidating, and partner up with other communities on different things and different ideas, it's worth a conversation. So I would never say I wouldn't sit down and be very open to the conversation.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Did you want to respond, Mayor Tyer?
I do want to respond. The wastewater treatment plant is not costing $64 million. It's costing $54 million. It's $20 million lower than we projected. We did receive a low interest rate loan from the Clean Water Trust, and we just learned that they're going to forgive $4 million of that loan. We are working every day to ensure that we have environmentally protective facilities in our city while managing the cost impact to our residents.
Thank you. Councilor Maggio, would you like to respond to
absolutely.
The school district, or would you like to respond to the wastewater district?
Wastewater.
Okay, let's go with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So that's great. So it went 64 million, 74 million, or 74 down to 64, now it's 54. We're going to get forgiven $4 million. So we're paying $50 million just on the water and sewer. The wastewater treatment plant, way to the water and sewer at $50 million, that hasn't even hit the table yet. And here's why that I'm so upset about this, is because we're not working on a permit that is new and relevant, because the mayor and the administration refused to go and sit down at my request with the Mass DEP and the EPA to renegotiate what is it exactly that we want. We are working to a permit that is 10 years old. Things change on a daily basis. So if we finish this $50 million water treatment plant, wastewater meet, we're still paying the interest back, so it's low interest. We still got to pay it back. And we don't even know that when we're done and they give us that permit, that the next time that permit comes out, that it's not something new. So before we put another shovel in the ground, we need to know exactly what we're doing.
Okay. Would you like to give us a rebuttal?
We do know exactly what we're doing. We're in compliance with the Clean Water Act.
Okay. You're taking away from your candidate's time, just so you know, okay. But not this time, go ahead.
I'm all set, thank you.
All right. Do you want 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we know? Because we never sat down. We don't know what they're asking. We were in compliance with the Wastewater Treatment Act when they were giving us this permit, and we worked on it on an appeal, and our appeal was denied on a bad set of paperwork, not on its merits. So we don't really know.
Counselor, that is simply not true.
It is true,
Mayor.
It
is not true. We were denied because we were not able to prove that we should have a lower standard than everyone else.
That's not true. I've read the appeals. The appeals were denied because the paperwork wasn't done properly. I asked for us to go, when you threatened that we were going to get fined because you called the EPA to see how much they would fine us. Thank you for that. I asked to sit down and talk with them so that we could figure out if we have to do this, and I'm not saying we didn't have to, are we doing this and we're doing this to the right standards? Do you know what's going on up there right now? There's like 5 or 6 different companies I've never even heard of that was never in it. This thing is so far off the rails right now that I wanted to bring this before the council. I don't even have time to get this before the council for this election. But trust me, the minute I'm elected and mayor, we're going right back to this.
This has gone off the rails, but I'm going to give Mayor Tyer a response since we're on this.
This is a major upgrade to the city's wastewater treatment plant. This is infrastructure improvements, one of the things that Councilor Mazzeo talks about. It is important that this community invest in environmental initiatives that protect our water and rivers. Now, yes, this is a major project, and yes, there are a lot of contractors involved. All you have to do is go and look at the bid specifications, look at the general contractor, look at the number of contractors that are required to do various aspects of the construction project. There's nothing nefarious happening here. This is an important upgrade that this city ought to be investing in so that we can protect our waterways.
And then talk to the guy who got fired because he was doing things correct.
This will continue to play out, but I thought that had actually been talked out, which is why I didn't put it on my list of questions, but apparently that was wrong. Okay, let's move on to one. Let's move on to an easier one. And this will be to Councilor Mazzeo. The Berkshire Athenaeum unveiled a new branding earlier this year. What do you think about the updated branding, and what do you see as the core roles for the city library in the 21st century?
I think the Berkshire Athenaeum is a wonderful place for the city of Pittsfield. It's so much more than just a library. It's really a place that some members of our community feel like they have nowhere else to go, and they're welcomed in there, and they're able to, you know, spend their day and stay warm and read books and interact with people. The new branding, I think, is phenomenal. I couldn't be happier with our director, Alex. And so I have absolutely no issues at all. I do know that, because we're having some issues in our community, like we do with homeless, and he's had some issues, and he's so kind and considerate, and we're trying to work with him to help him on some of the good and the bad things that come with it. But I think it's absolutely a jewel, and I'm so happy that we continue to fund it to their best ability, and we have him at the helm.
All right, thank you. All right, and Mayor Tyer.
I think that the new branding of our library is absolutely fantastic. It puts a whole new message and a new initiative out into the community to represent our library in a modern way. The library has a brand new website that's been updated. The library just received a literary landmark designation because of its Herman Melville collection. In the very near future, we're going to receive even more historic documents to support the Herman Melville collection. Our library is an absolute gem in this community, and it's a welcoming place for everyone, and it has this incredible collection of one of America's most important literary authors of all time. So the library deserves our support, and I'm very excited to be part of the team of people that supports our library through our budget process and just through our all of the efforts that we do to go to the library to celebrate on special occasions.
All right, thank you. Is there anything else either of you want to say on the library? Are you good?
Not on the library.
Okay. Then we're getting towards the end, and there is a question I want to ask on leadership. I have specific questions for either of you, and you can answer your question, and then you can rebut the others if you
sure.
so desire. And this one will go to Mayor Tyer first. And it would be two of your signature proposals, the at-home housing rehabilitation program and the change to a toter trash system, both failed. And what did you learn from those failures, and how would you think you would address them a second time?
That's a great question. So when we put forward the proposal to modernize the way that we manage our solid waste and collection, we spent about a year pulling together a lot of data and doing the analysis and pulling together a proposal that we thought would be a great way to encourage recycling, reduce the amount of trash, save the city money. And so we put together the proposal, and we had some conversations with the members of the City Council, and we modified that based on what we heard from them. And then we went out into the community and talked to the community about it, and it was clear to me that the community was not ready for this level of change. It's complicated because we couldn't solve for every problem that everybody has within their own way that they manage their solid waste, their garbage in their kitchen, in their garage, or at the end of their driveway. So we listened and we heard, and I understood that the community was not ready to accept and embrace this change. And that's an important aspect of leadership, to be able to listen to what you're hearing, to be able to find compromise, and to be able to say, you know, now is not the time. We should focus our efforts on other initiatives. With regard to the At Home in Pittsfield program, it was a similar scenario. We spent some time looking at data. We came up with a proposal. We talked to the members of the City Council. We compromised. And unfortunately, the City Council, we lost that by one vote. And unfortunately, the City Council didn't support that initiative. I'm sorry that that happened, actually. And I'm sorry because in both scenarios, I compromised, I had conversations with the individual members of the City Council, we modified our proposals to meet their needs, and then they say, oh, thanks, Mayor, but we don't like this part of it now. Oh, thanks, Mayor, but we don't like this part of it now. So compromise in leadership is a two-way street.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and over to Councilor Manzio. You've often been in the minority vote on a number of council decisions. With this in mind, as mayor, how would you convince the City Council to support your initiatives and the proposals that you have?
Compromise and transparency. So when the mayor talks about the compromise, I think it falls a little bit short, because when you do bring a proposal like the at-home committee, the at-home...
But how would you...
This is how I would do it.
Okay.
So when that was brought forward, and there was some pushback, and then they asked for a compromise, and then it came back, and it was getting ready to not be... it wasn't going forward because there was a disagreement on the funding. There was a petition that was brought back in that said, let's talk about this again, and let's sit down and do this. And that proposal has been sitting on the mayor's desk ever since. That's not being accountable. That's not being a compromiser. That's taking your ball and going home when you didn't get your way. And so and this is still sitting there. So I have been on the opposite end of the votes many times. But what I've said, and I said this in my opening statement, it's because I looked at the initiative, I looked at what was being proposed, and what was the right thing to do. And just because there was a lot of people that we already knew from the minute that somebody started talking how they were gonna vote, I wasn't gonna fall into that trap. I never have, and I never did. And I think that's why I've been elected for 10 years on the City Council, is because people understand that I will answer the questions and do the due diligence that's needed on the vote, and not because it's following the crowd or something like that. So I'm not a crowd follower, and I won't expect the council to be a crowd follower, but if I give them and the proposals come forward and we have good dialogue and there's back and forth and give and take on everything, then I think that I can get the things that I need accomplished. I don't think I won't. Unless there's people who do not want to work with you because they don't. And I've always said, don't look at me like that, because it's like, I don't say no to you because of a proposal. It's because there's an initiative that's out there that I don't agree with. We've had a lot of open dialogue except for the last year or so, and I haven't heard a lot of things, but I read in the paper.
All right. Mayor Tari, you want to respond?
I do want to respond, because leadership at this level cannot be successful without compromise, without alignment, without an acceptance of shared responsibility, without doing a little bit of arm wrestling. In this scenario of the At Home in Pittsfield initiative, we compromise by expanding the footprint of where we would launch the initiative. But they weren't willing to compromise on the funding source. So This is what's required in leadership, that you build strong relationships, that you have networks of people that you can bring to the table to accomplish your goals. We've had many successful examples in the last 4 years of those kinds of partnerships and those kinds of opportunities to showcase our city and bring successful initiatives across the finish line by leadership that's built on trust and compromise.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Maggio, 1 minute.
Absolutely. So absolutely, but at the same time, the residents are not voting for a city council that's going to be 11 people that are going to say yes to everything the mayor. It's a checks and balance, and you do not want that. So you want that give and take. But it's also about delivering and bringing things out. And if you're looking to bring out something and you want it done tomorrow, that's where you're going to get pushback. And that's what we talk about, the conversations and the transparency. And when the mayor was running in 2015 and she said she's going to meet with the councilors on a regular basis on the subcommittees and talk about initiatives, that never happened. So when you get your packet on a Friday and you're supposed to hurry up and vote on Tuesday, that's where the pushback comes in. And so another thing, being on the council for 10 years that I have, when you're having conversations, things come up that all of a sudden you may not have thought of, which brings you to a whole different time thought and process thought. So that's okay to table something and put it on the back burner. Hey, listen, we did it with the Berkshire Innovation Center, right, Bear? I mean, it took us a year and a half to get that funding done because you had questions, and we took a year until they got answered. And when it got answered, it was unanimous. So that's how you work it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Would you like 30 seconds back?
Well, I think the Berkshire Innovation Center is a great example of how we were able to take a project that was floundering because it was badly structured and it was poorly underfunded, and bring together business leaders and state officials and the members of the city council to get the Innovation Center across the finish line. And as you know, it's about to open, and we've got some tenants that are planning to occupy the space for their brand new business endeavor. So I think that is a perfect example of a success story that I was part of and that I led. Yes, we had to take some time. Not because I questioned the value of the Innovation Center, because the state required us to look at a number of facilities.
Okay. Can I just, I got to answer back on that.
Yeah, it is your turn.
It is mine.
Okay. I'm going to give you 40 seconds because she went over.
Okay, thank you. It was not poorly underfunded. You can't take a project and call it poorly underfunded when the earmark was $6.5 million and the state ended up paying you $11.5 because they liked the idea. When we went looking for that earmark at 6.5 in the Commonwealth said, go rethink this, and the mayor did and brought in a consultant, and that's who came up with the Berkshire Innovation Center. They liked that idea so much they gave us 9.5, they increased it to 9.5. That's not being poorly funded or poorly structured. That's doing good due diligence. Then when we went and took the year and a half to get all of the minutia done and the contracts and the lease, then it took us, when we finally got it done, that gap. And I asked the mayor right off the bat in her election, fund this gap, give $2 million for the economic development, have the state give one. She wouldn't do it, and finally we flipped it the other way and we got it done.
Okay. Thank you. So we're coming up, we're just about an hour in, and I would like to give you time to give your closing statements, if you like. And I believe, Councilor Maggio, you get to go first. You have 90 seconds.
I'll talk fast. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. So I want to thank everybody for this exchange tonight. We are 1 week away from making a decision that will affect the future of Pittsfield and your life here. As your 10-year city councilor, every vote I took, I remember that I was affecting your life. I knew the new Taconic High School was going to be a difficult increase for some residents, but I knew the overall benefit to the city and to our workforce, so I made the right choice. I knew that getting the BIC funded and open was going to help our local businesses to thrive and in turn help our local economy. I supported resources and technologies for police, fire, and teachers because we need to invest in community in order to be a place where we can live safely and raise our family on a livable wage. But I also was mindful for each dollar spent and that needed to be done with the utmost caution, and not squandered on projects that have not been thoroughly vetted before moving forward. As a city councilor, I'm among one of 11 voices. But as your mayor, I will have the ability to do so much more to ensure a strong future for our city. I can create strong partnerships between City Hall and our existing businesses so our businesses feel supported rather than burdened and forgotten. I can develop workforce pipelines from Taconic High School and Berkshire Community College to ensure Pittsfield companies have the workforce they need to grow. I can advocate for teachers from the day I take office by giving them a greater say for their workday rather than waiting for 4 years to suddenly suggest support. I can regularly examine budgets to ensure that irresponsible overspending does not happen on my watch. As your mayor, I will work from my first day to my last to work for you, the taxpayers. I will listen and I will act, and that is my pledge. So Pittsfield's at a turning point. It's time for a change. We cannot afford to not take this change. So I humbly ask for your vote on Tuesday, November 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mayor Tyer.
Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure to have another forum on the issues that matter the most to the people of Pittsfield. And I agree with Councillor Mazzeo that this is a defining moment in Pittsfield's history. This election will have consequences for years to come. I have been honored to represent the people of Pittsfield in various capacities over the course of my professional life. And the common theme throughout my tenure has always been an attitude of how can we? How can we accomplish more, do more, be better? How do we build bridges and create alliances? How do we encourage more people to participate in government? How can we energize the economy? We've done that. We've created new jobs. We've invested in the police department. We've advocated for our schools, and we've been securing grants to the tune of $17 million so that we can do more in our city without putting pressure on taxpayers. I am a solution-oriented, hardworking, and I'm tenacious in fighting for every citizen. I've been talking to my dad recently about this campaign, and he's always interested in knowing how things are going, and he recently gave me some great advice. He said this: ask the voters of Pittsfield to evaluate their choice based on performance. I'll put my record of performance up against Councillor Mazzeo's 10 years on the City Council 1,000 times, and the choice becomes clear. On November 5th, I respectfully ask for your vote so we can keep moving Pittsfield forward.
I want to thank Councillor Mazzeo and Mayor Tyer for providing us with a spirited and substantive debate. I think they both did a wonderful job. I want to thank Berkshire Community Colleges for hosting us here. I want to thank Pittsfield Community Television on behalf of the Pittsfield Gazette for recording this, and it will be available later on their website, and I hope everybody gets to watch it. And again, make sure you get out and vote on Tuesday, November 5th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. As both of the candidates said, this could be a very well a turning point in your community, and it's up to you to decide who is going to lead you. Again, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you very much. Okay.